So I'm excited to see that there are going to be cannabis talks today. So I'm here to talk about everything else except cannabis for all the other plants. But I am excited to see cannabis coming up. Florida is about to embark on our great adventure with the Charlotte's Web products. And I think that cannabis, as people become accustomed to having a green plant medicine, it will bring some of the other green plant medicines along with it, which is my great hope. I also have maybe a naive hope that we can start growing more of these plants locally to wherever you live. I know you don't all live in Florida, but I do. So this map represents the Deep South, which is the region I'm talking about. So I've selected some plants to talk about today, and I want to celebrate native plants because that's my interest. My training is actually in wildlife ecology and native ecosystems, and I therefore got interested in the native plants. I also am interested in the potential for cultivation for some of these plants. I'll be talking about some common weeds that some of you are probably trying to get rid of and that may have potential for commercial use and also medicinal value. And big picture, looking for safer and more sustainable sources for our plants so that we know what we're getting. Of course, you know about medicinal plants. They're the healing choice for most of the world. They have fewer side effects than our pharmaceutical medicines. They can be very effective when properly used, and this is a point that as an herbalist, and I do consult with people about health care issues, people are often using the wrong herb for a given problem. And so I'm hoping as we grow and open our minds that we can get more targeted with our prescribing of medicinal plants. There's also a great consumer concern over the synthetic medicines. And so when I say that they're easier or more simple to assimilate, what I'm referring to is that humans have co-evolved with these plants. Plants, of course, were here long before humans. And so our body does know how to recognize the compounds that are in plants and makes them more assimilable, more useful to the body. I thought I would just hit very briefly here on markets. I'll try to go through this quickly. But there has been steady growth in the supplements and herbal medicines market even through the recession, with annual growth rates ranging anywhere from 2 to 10%. In the U.S., growth rates are expected to hover in the 6 to 9% range. This is total global market forecast up to as much as $107 billion in 2017. The Asia-Pacific region is now overtaking Europe and the United States as one of the fastest-growing consumer regions. And in the U.S., the one factor in increased sales is that the GMP regulations have now boosted consumer confidence in the quality of the products that we're receiving. Just a quick summary, in the U.S. market, there are three channels referred to here. The mass market channel, which is your Walmart and Target and Costco, your natural and health food store channel, and the direct MLM channel. All of these adding up in 2012 to $5.5 billion. And the U.S. market forecast could be as high as $33 billion by 2018. That's maybe a little optimistic. But if anyone wants to know the sources for some of this information, I can talk to you afterwards. And just a quick summary of the market categories. Supplements take up two-thirds of the market, one-third in herbal remedies. And if you break down that herbal remedy portion, a huge part of it is for cough, cold, and allergy remedies. Another small part for digestive remedies, which in this country are mostly laxatives. It's the largest aisle in the drugstore. And then the other portion, the purple portion, is only all other remedies. And just to give you an idea of the top four companies in the U.S., Cadbury Adams, who do cough products, Halls, cough drops, Ricola, cough drops, and Procter & Gamble, who produce Metamucil. And that's Those are the top four companies producing in the herbal remedies category. Of course, there are many, many others. Just a few trends in the U.S. market. Whoops, I'm sorry. 53% of the people are using supplements on a regular basis, but upwards of 80% of everyone uses supplements with herbs in them on a casual basis. There's more and more clinical confirmation coming out about herbs and more being used in preventive care. And then I summarize quickly here some of the growth areas for herbal products, particularly formulas as opposed to simples, which are single herb products. And you see some of the other areas, of course, aging, women's sports nutrition, functional foods. So let's get to the plants. A star indicates that the plant is in what I call the top 50 category. Only a few of these are going to be in the top 50 because I'm wanting to share with you information about plants that maybe you haven't thought about for producing or for herbal medicine. But that top 50 category are values ranging from $1 million and up in the global market. So most of these are going to be a little bit below that value, but with potential for development. Butterfly weed is almost a top 50 plant. In the Asclepiadaceae family, the root is used to treat respiratory conditions, especially hot, wet conditions with fevers, things like pneumonia, things like when fluid is gathering around the lungs. It's also ecologically important as a monarch butterfly plant. It is on the watch list of the United Plant Savers, which is a nonprofit group that watches medicinal plants, which means we need to be cultivating this plant, not only for the monarchs, but we can make medicine out of it. And I will give you prices as I go through these. These are retail prices for dried herb on the present market, but it'll give you an idea. It's really hard to get information about how much is being produced and what the values are. But just to give you an idea, this plant retails right now for about $19 a pound. That's dried root. It is primarily cultivated in California. But I see this plant as a great opportunity for Florida, for the Southeast. Helps with pneumonia. This is a great concern in aging issues. Bacopa, what is commonly called Brahmi in India, in the Ayurvedic medicine system. Brahmi because it's the herb of the Brahmins, of the upper class. It's an herb that is considered to be a rasayana, which is an herb that is healing of all systems in a very sort of a non-specific way. You can't say it just does one thing. And so this herb actually helps to sharpen the intellect and attenuate deficits in the brain, helps with cerebral circulation. You can imagine that this would be a great preventive and or treatment in Alzheimer's disease, another of our aging concerns. This grows as a weed in Florida. It is native. Value right now is only about $10 a pound. But it is wild gathered in India right now. So it's a plant that could be gathered and crafted in this country. Very closely related in its uses, and this one is a top 50 herb, that's what the yellow star means, is Gotucola, centella. The species on this haven't exactly been pinned down, but there's pretty much general agreement that Centella asiatica is the same species that grows here. Somebody here might want to differ with me, but I get the same results with it. Again, it's a cerebral circulation herb. It was used in both Chinese and Ayurvedic systems. Preventive of Alzheimer's disease, another great aging herb. It's also a great herb for connective tissue integrity and healing. Value right now ranges around $9 to $13 a pound. But again, it grows as a weed, so some of these would be very easy to produce large quantities. Right now, the vast majority of it comes from Madagascar. This one is a real sleeper. Only recently has research been done on Crinum asiaticum, which is the Asian cousin of this plant. The leaf is being used in preparations for endometriosis, which is very painful sort of cell proliferation, hormonally mediated in women. And this plant has shown some really good results. I am only guessing that the American one would have similar properties, but suggests that the plant has hormonal activity and also potentially anti-proliferative or anti-cancer possibilities. There is no value on this. I can't even tell you. Sourcing right now is out of Asia, and there is a company producing an encapsulated product of this right now. Good old fringe tree, also called old man's beard. It's a beautiful tree, great in the landscape. It's a bitter remedy, the bark and the bark of the roots, for treating liver and gallbladder concerns. It's antispasmodic. It's lithotriptic, which means it helps to melt stones, something that the medical field would probably deny, but we herbalists believe that we do have things that can help to melt stones. So helpful in all kinds of liver diseases associated with aging. Value right now, $30 a pound. Pretty good value. This is produced in the eastern U.S., so this is one that we actually own. Corydalis. Corydalis yan husuo is a major medicinal herb in the TCM tradition. We have a number of Corydalis species here that grow in the U.S. I have Corydalis micrantha on the left, Corydalis aureus on the right. There are also some purple-flowered fumaria species that are closely related. These contain opioids. They are now in the poppy family. They used to be in their own family. But they are not as addictive, and nor do they have the side effects that you would see with morphine and the other poppy-derived drugs. So they're hitting on, I believe, on the mu opioid receptors. So less addictive, but almost as effective as the other opioids. This is especially good for deep pain in the body, structural pain, like joint pains, heart pain, pain that is associated with cancer, and also has some mild hormonal activity, so useful for uterine pain in women. And I've used this one a good bit in my practice, and it's quite effective. And when I say I've used it, I just make a simple ethanolic extract of whole plant that I dug in my backyard. So, pretty crude. I think this one has a huge amount of potential. Sourcing right now of the Chinese root is from China, and it's valued about $30 a pound. Sweet gum. We're into a little tree medicine here. Which now they've put in a different family, the Altingiaceae, if I can pronounce it correctly. So it's a resinous tree. You all may know of the resin storax that comes from this tree that is now harvested mostly in Turkey and Honduras, Central America, valued at $90 a pound. That gets a little attention there. But also the green gumballs of this tree have shikimic acid in them at a pretty good level, like 9%, something like that, equivalent to the property that is in Chinese star anise, where we get the shikimic acid right now, which is the active ingredient in Tamiflu. So, again, a crude extract of the green gumballs is pretty nice in influenza, and this also could be, something that would be developed into a product. There's no value for the gumballs right now, but I can say the star anise pods are valued at about $15 a pound from China. Magnolia, this is one of my preparations brewing right here. Aromatic bark, also the flowers, the seed pods, the leaves, all parts of the tree are very aromatic. They contain polyphenols, magnolol, and hoconiol, which are now being widely used in anti-anxiety preparations, some for mood disorders. It's also mildly analgesic, very useful in rheumatic conditions, osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis. Also extremely helpful for allergies, seasonal allergies. So the southern magnolias are not being used at all for this at this point. It's a Chinese medicine. In China, the flower goes at around $30 a pound, and the bark, $32 a pound. There are two species of Monarda, Monarda fistulosa and Monarda didyma, that are used quite a bit now in commerce from the Midwest. This is our local southeastern one, spotted bee balm or dotted horse mint. It's a spicy, fragrant plant and contains a good bit of essential oil, has potential to slide into the market that's occupied by oregano right now. Oregano oil is a huge fad. Also, potentially as an insect repellent. The uses are similar to oregano, which has become one of the big top 50 herbs. In fact, the old folks around here, the old Southerners, used to call this rignum, which meant oregano, local oregano. Great for chronic infections, gut dysbiosis. For the plant from Wisconsin right now, running about $35 a pound. Passiflora, I probably don't need to talk about this one much. You all know it. It's a top 50. It's a native plant. Right now, most of what we get in this country is produced in India, a little bit in California. A very nice herb for stressful times. Also mildly hypotensive, so it really has good benefits in an aging population. Another plant I probably don't need to say much about, it is also a top 50. It's been studied extensively in Israel, where the product Sambucol was produced. The berries have a very strong antiviral effect. The mechanisms are now being understood, but as herbalists, we've always said that it primes the immune system to be prepared for viral attack. So it's used as both a preventive and as a treatment. The value on the syrup of the berries is incredibly high, up to $30 a quart. I mean, this is a simple syrup of berries and sugar. I've seen it as high as $30 for a little 4-ounce bottle in the health food store. So this one, I think, has good potential. Most of it right now is produced in Europe, some in the United States. Cida, or Cida, I don't know how you pronounce it. I've shown here what I think is Cida acuta, Cida ulmifolia. Very common weed. Most of you have probably tried to kill it. It's in the mallow family. It's a pretty fantastic antimicrobial with broad application, and it tastes good, which is a pretty good thing. Value right now, $88 a pound out of Africa. This one could be grown like crazy in Florida. I think I will just go on past these last two plants and mention that there are a number of other natives that have potential for medicinal use. Of course, saw palmetto serranoa, which I did not talk about because it's already very much in commerce. The blueberry species, you can come back later and look at this slide on the replay. Also, a number of non-natives that grow really well in Florida, and all of these that are listed here are in the top 50 category, except for hibiscus, which is not a top 50 herb yet, but I think it will be, and that only comes from my experience and my opinion, but I think hibiscus is on the way to being the next pomegranate. So, in summary, we have a growing market for plant-based products. Income potential for growers. I have a naive hope that we'll grow more of these plants here, and a favorable climate, and mostly that we can develop domestic sources that are more traceable, less often adulterated, and more sustainable. And I will take any questions if you have them. Thank you.
Thank you.